Nurturing the Arts in Northeast Portland by Amplifying Opportunities for Black and Underrepresented Communities. They provide studio, gallery, and performance spaces to local artists and art organizations and showcase diverse programming for local groups of all ages. More information, event calendar, and tickets available at albertaabbey.org.
Support for X-Ray comes from Beeline Urban Delivery. Beeline supports businesses with access to zero-emission delivery, warehousing, and advertising services. More at b-linepdx.com.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from Alberta Abbey. The Alberta Abbey is a nonprofit venue nurturing the arts in Northeast Portland by amplifying opportunities for Black and underrepresented communities. They provide studio, gallery, and performance spaces to local artists and art organizations and showcase diverse programming for local groups of all ages. More information, event calendar, and tickets available at albertaabbey.org.
Hi, this is Peter Case, and you're listening to X-Ray FM.
You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And on the coast in Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online and on demand at xray.fm.
Every Tuesday at 2 p.m., join me, DJ Barbarella, in studio live with a local artist, musician, or event organizer. Hear what's new and upcoming in the local scene, with new music releases and debuts. Plus, hear a special curated playlist each week from every guest. All on X-Ray, where radio is yours.
Hello, hello, X-Ray listeners. You're tuned into Flying Saucer Safari here on X-Ray FM. I'm DJ Barbarella, and I have a very special in-house live guest here. Welcoming back Kilmer. I've got Austin in-house right now. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, y'all? It's good to be back.
Yeah, thanks for coming down. I know you guys are kind of like split between multiple cities, so thank you for making it in while the other folks are up in Bellingham. What's up, guys?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. What's up, guys? Who knows if they're listening or not?
It's okay if they're not. You guys are very busy right now.
Yeah, we're all prepping for tour. Yeah, Brett, our bass player, who's in here with me last time, he's up in Bellingham as well with our other guitar player, because Brett is actually playing bass with another band on tour. They're all based in Bellingham called Full Color Dream. We're doing the whole tour with them, Brett's going to fill in on bass for them, so they're up there rehearsing. You just get me today.
Yeah. I'm thrilled. So you're on here to talk about, you guys have a pretty big, expansive, like, West Coast tour.
It's kind of crazy, actually, that we were able to put something together like this. Huge shout out to Brett and Cullen, who's actually, he's in Full Color Dream. They did the majority of the legwork of booking this thing, getting everything together. So, like, I honestly did not do very much. I was just kind of like, all right, I'll keep these dates open and I'll show up. They put in a lot of work and did a great job of putting together a super cool, like, 10-date tour for us. We kick it off here in Portland at the Alberta Street Pub on Thursday. So that's the 28th. If you're around, love to see you. It's going to be us, Full Color Dream, and Bonus Room, I believe, who's another great local Portland band.
Okay.
It's going to be a good show.
Yeah, awesome. What is this, your guys' first like big West Coast tour? Have you guys done like a
I would say it's definitely our biggest. We've done like little like 3 or 4 day stints.
Yeah.
Like we did like 3 days just kind of through Oregon, where we did like Portland, Eugene, Bend, and then we did 3 days through like Washington, where we did like Seattle, Bellingham, Spokane, like those places. Mm-hmm. But only I think the longest like stretch of dates we've done was 4 days.
Yeah.
So this will be by far the biggest. And yeah, we're starting here and getting down as south as San Francisco, which is going to be great.
Yeah.
And hitting spots like Chico along the way. I think we got a date in Santa Rosa. We're starting here, heading south, and then coming all the way back up north and ending in Bellingham on the 7th.
Okay.
So on, right. Yeah, September 7th. So yeah, it'll be a lot of time in the car, but and I'm stoked. It'll be a fun stretch.
Yeah. Do you guys have like one big van y'all kind of cram into, or are you guys like renting something bigger this time?
Great question. I wish we had it in the funds to rent something bigger, but no, we're taking, Brett has an old, Forerunner that we'll be able to cram into, but the other band that we're touring with, Full Color Dream, they do have a van set up. So we'll be able to
caravan.
Yeah, well, exactly. We'll caravan down. They're going to let us share some gear. Like, so it's nice. Honestly, like touring with another band is huge. It's so nice. Like to be able to, it helps with booking. Cause you're like, hey, we can fill two slots in a night and not just one and not have to find, as many locals. And yeah, you can share gear. Yeah. I hadn't done it before until like we recently started doing this with Full Color Dream, and, yeah, it's really nice. So if you're in a band and you're trying to book a tour, like find another band that wants to go with you, like for real, it helps out a lot.
I'm sure just like for the, just backlining alone.
Yeah, exactly. You can share so much gear. Yeah. You can share a kit, you can share a bass cab. Like, yeah, it's super nice.
Yeah. Yeah. What, do you guys have a favorite like game or entertainment that you do on the road?
Oh man, that's a great question. No, like, I mean, we haven't spent enough time yet, I guess, to like find, I mean, we just listened to a ton of music, like which is awesome. Like, cause we all have a bunch of new music we're like always wanting to share. Like, yeah, it's nice.
I feel like in the car you can do some of the best, like what I call like active listening, where you're really.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Cause you're like boxed in and like, it's a great place to just listen to a whole record. Well, and especially when you're like, all right, we've got like 6 hours ahead of us.
Yeah.
Like no excuse not to just listen to this record from front to back, right? Yeah, which is great, which is something, again, like you said, you know, do super often. Like at least I don't find myself nearly as much anymore as giving myself like a full 45 minutes to an hour to just sit down and like do nothing but listen to a record. Unless I'm listening to like, I mean, one of the things that I do enjoy about vinyl is that it forces you to do kind of that same thing.
Yep.
Where it's like, all right, it's an activity. I'm gonna sit here, I'm gonna put it on, listen to it, flip it, listen to it. Yeah, and the car's a similar thing.
Yeah. It's definitely different. Like passively listening to music where you're not catching all those. But as a musician, I'm sure you take like so much from listening to, is that something that you guys do also to like keep your stuff fresh and stuff too?
I mean, I would say that like, I mean, we're all like, all of us are like in our mid 30s. So I'm just proud of us for the fact that we still seek out new music.
Yeah.
Cause you know, cause I feel like it can be really easy to like sit back and be complacent and like only listen to the stuff that like really influenced you at like in your college years or mid or late 20s, which there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Like keeping up with like new music and new bands, especially in today's day and age with streaming and like how accessible, I mean, it's amazing how accessible like recording and getting your music out there has become. Cause like, I mean, bands like us can do it. And like we can record an album and get it on Spotify like 2 weeks later, like all doing it all DIY. Or Bandcamp or any of the other spots. That also means that like there is so much music out there to sort through and so much good music. There's not like any kind of like especially now. Like I feel like, I don't know, like I was recently on a work trip and we like had a drive to do, and one of the people that I was in the car with put on this playlist of like early 2010s, like late 2000s, like pop music. So like a lot of like Nelly and Shaggy and Flo Rida, like all that stuff, which is like, so that's when I was in like high school.
Yeah, same.
And yeah, and like, but what really stood out to me was that like I knew every single one of those songs. Like Sean Paul, like a Sean Paul track
even
came on.
If you didn't listen to it at the time,
it was just so pervasive that like I feel like that doesn't really exist anymore. Even with pop music, I think maybe there's Taylor Swift that like everybody kind of knows, but other than that, like I couldn't tell you what's charting. And I feel like that's not necessarily just because of my age. I feel like a lot of younger kids
I think, like, it's a lot with social media, like took out sort of the middleman that pushed these like because I feel like we see this a lot in other things too, like in Hollywood and actors and stuff. You know, we don't have these main single like stars anymore.
100%. Yeah, the movie stars don't really exist anymore. Yeah, there's like a couple of them. But you're right. Yeah. It's a similar like, well, it's just all the loss of like the monoculture, I guess. It's kind of all a part of that. But no, that all being said, that like, yes, we all do actively seek out a lot of new music. A lot of that is honestly going to shows. Like we play a lot of shows and go to a lot of local shows, discover a lot of bands that way. going to festivals. Like, I was just at Pickathon a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I know we talked about that last time we were on, but like, we all are a huge fan of that festival.
What was your favorite set from Pickathon?
Oh my gosh, probably Corey Hansen. He's the front man of Wand. I don't know if you're familiar with Wand. Yeah, yeah. So he's recently started touring, like doing off behind a couple of solo records. Cool. And I caught him twice, actually, because one of the cool things about Pickathon is every artist plays two sets.
Oh, that's great.
So just in case, like, you can.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And the way that they do the schedule is that, like, so if there's an artist you really want to see, like, you kind of have no excuse not to see them.
Yeah.
Like, even with conflicts with their bands and everything. So I caught his set twice.
Yeah.
One at like a late night, like indoor venue, and another at like an early morning outside stage. So it was like two completely different like vibes, but both sets were great. Corey Hansen was really great.
Very cool. So when you guys are making your music, how are you going about making sure that you're like keeping things fresh? And have you ever had an idea that you felt like was a challenge to create something, and how did you overcome that?
Challenge in what way? Like,
I don't know. I guess if you ever had an idea to make a sound and you came to the crew and were like, how do we make this idea happen? Have you ever had that happen where like you have an idea and you're like, I'm not sure how to execute this, but
that's actually really, I would say that that's actually how like most of our songs start, or someone will have an idea. And I mean, there are some times when someone will come with a pretty fleshed out idea and then we just kind of fill in the gaps. But I would say at least, especially recently, like all the new music we've been working on, stuff that we haven't even like recorded or put out yet, I would say that most of that started that way, where somebody had like one riff or like one rhythm or something, like a really small piece of it. And then we all kind of just pieced it together. You're definitely, sometimes you'll hit walls where you'll be like, ah, let's put that one away, not drive ourselves crazy. But honestly, like recently, it's all been kind of like, if someone comes in with an idea, like we actually just wrote a new one after, like, we had, since we take every like chance we can when we're all in the same city to practice. And so we actually played this really cool festival called Jam Fest, like McKenzie River Jam Fest, a few weeks ago, down just outside of Eugene, on the McKenzie River. Fine. And we came back from playing that, and we had like a couple hours before everyone kind of went their separate ways to kind of rehearse, and we weren't necessarily even planning on writing, but Brett just kind of started playing this bass line, and then we all, like an hour later, like we had a new song. So like sometimes it just flows super easily like that, you know?
Oh, that's so fun. I'm sure that feels so good too.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, yeah, it feels amazing. It's the absolute best when that happens. Yeah.
So you guys, I'm sure with this tour, have some new music then you're saying that you're also playing. I think the last time, I was trying to find when you guys
Primo, that record right there. That one's only, only a few months old at this point.
Yeah.
We like just put this out. And so, I guess this is like what we're touring on.
Yeah,
we already have like 7 or 8 new songs though, like that we're hoping to possibly record this fall if everything like works out the way that we want it to. And then like hopefully by end of this year, early next year, we'll have something else out. Like one of the things too that's cool about, we were talking about kind of to changing music industry and just kind of how people listen to music. I feel one of the things that I do love is that the like every 2 year record release schedule has kind of gone away,
because
very much like a major label release strategy. So, but that everyone kind of ended up conforming to. It's like, all right, you got to have a record like every 2 years.
Yeah.
And like, if you do more than that, it's considered weird, or if it's longer than that. And what I love is that bands are just putting out more music now.
Yeah,
like a couple albums a year, an album every year is like not too uncommon anymore.
Yeah.
Which I think I think it's more of an old school way of doing it. Like if you look at bands from like the 60s and 70s, they were all putting out like the Beatles, they famously like were only banned for 8 years but had 12 albums or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that kind of release strategy is kind of coming back, I think, more. So yeah, we're hoping to put out a new one as soon as we can.
Yeah.
But for now, this is what we got.
No, that's great. Well, I mean, I'm assuming that you're going to play some of these new songs on this tour, so if people want to hear some
absolutely
unreleased stuff, then they would be going to one of these shows.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think at Alberta we'll have at least 2 new unreleased ones.
Yeah,
and then pretty much everything else will be from this. But if you wanted to play a track, we can start with Silence Says. I think we tried to finish with that one last time, but we didn't. We weren't able to get through the whole thing.
Yeah. Sometimes that's how this show
does. Yeah, no, for sure. Totally, yeah.
Well, if folks want to find y'all online and follow along with like if you're coming to their city, where can they find you?
So Instagram, at, like, I think it's Kilmer_band on Instagram is probably, that's the place that we keep the most updated, for shows. And what's up?
Two L's.
Two L's. Yes. K-I-L-L-M-E-R. Yeah. Not like the actor, even though we love the actor.
Yes.
but the, yeah. So Kilmer, K-I-L-L-M-E-R_band is the Instagram. So definitely check us out there. And then, yeah, you can find us on all music, on all streaming stuff, Bandcamp, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever.
Yeah, heck yeah. All right, well, let's hear the song off of Primo, and then we'll come back and chat some more.
All right, sounds good. Thanks. Hey. Thank you.
So good.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, that was
one
you.
Of my one, yeah, one of my favorites on that record. Like I love playing that one.
It's cool. So cool, we were just kind of chatting while Kilmer was playing and they guys were listening to about just like the amazing resurgence of the music scene post COVID and the rock scene in particular. I think we've got so many hard rockers right now. And you were just kind of speaking on a show that just happened recently and some amazing local bands.
So just this past Saturday, I was at the Get Down for the 40 Feet Tall album release show. They just put a new record out that's really good. I believe it's called Clean the Cage, which is just a great album title. Go check that out. 40 Feet, definitely one of the like bands that's really like hitting right now in Portland. Like they're doing a lot of cool stuff. The show was at the Get Down. Great venue. It was sold out, like packed. And then the opening bands were Buddy Wincoop and the Max, like two other great like Portland rock bands.
So good.
It was just really cool to be a part of an event where like so many people were like there and stoked for like local rock music, which I feel like hadn't been a thing I'd seen in a while. It got me stoked.
People moshing.
Yeah, man. People were dancing, moshing, moving around. It was cool.
40 Feet shows get really rowdy.
Yes.
The crowds
really
rowdy, which is very fun. But I'm too old for that now.
I sometimes I convince myself that I'm not too old for that, and then I hurt for like 3 days. I'll jump in there occasionally if I feel really called to the pit.
Have you guys gotten to play with 40 Feet yet?
No, we haven't. I would love to. Like that would be killer.
Shout out if y'all are listening out there. Kilmer would like to play with you guys. So I think that seems like a match. Like a awesome.
I feel like we would
show.
Fit really well. Yeah, our vibes live would go really well together.
I think it'd be great. So if you guys are
It would be an honor. We love those guys.
Any
Brookers
are listening.
Yeah. Well, it was so cool getting to see them play Pickathon. We were just talking about that too. They played like they got a great slot. They played like a big stage kind of at like 5 p.m. People were there and it was an amazing vibe. Like, so yeah, shout out to those guys.
Yeah. I feel like they really popped off.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's it's great with Portland bands too. It seems like everybody really, like, as a band rises, they kind of like everybody takes each other with each other, you know, like touring and
totally
shows. Everyone really is very supportive.
We've definitely found that. Like, I mean, some of my best friends are in a band called Nug, another great Portland band.
We'll listen to them too.
I love those guys. Like, I've known those guys forever. And they're like similar. They're like, they've been having like a moment, I guess, where they've like had some good tours. They just opened up for Being Dead on like a West Coast tour, and like every show was sold out. And like they're great band, great dudes. But they've always been super supportive of us. And like the scenes, it's a good scene.
Yeah, we love it. Get out there and support. All right, well, here's a new song from 40 Feet Tall then that you're jamming on. This is Pay Stub.
Yeah. Milo, what's Daddy's band's name?
Look.
That's so cute. I love when people get to use their kids in recording.
Yeah. You just gotta exploit your kids when you can, you know, when they're young. So shout out to Dorian, the lead singer of Nug, for that one.
Yeah. And you mentioned they have a show coming up. So if you like that, go and check them out online. It's just NUG, Nug.
Yeah. Great band. Like some of my best friends are in that band. Their drummer, Tyler, and I actually grew up together. So yeah, great dudes. Go support them if you can.
Yeah, sweet. And if folks are just tuning in now, I'm here with Austin from Kilmer, and you guys are about to go off on a really big tour and have a show coming in Portland this Thursday, if you want to talk about it.
So we're kicking off our West Coast tour. It starts this Thursday. We're kicking it off at the Alberta Street Pub here in town, actually just down the street from where we're sitting right now. Great venue. Love that spot. It's going to be a good show. We're going to be with the band that we're touring with, Full Color Dream. We'll be there as well. We're doing all 10 dates with them. And then Bonus Room, another great local Portland band, will also be there. So
yeah, I'm not familiar with them. I'm going to have to definitely check
them
out.
Yeah, check them out. I should know more about them. But Wes, who's in that band, I'm friends with, and they're great.
Yeah, Wes is coming for you with quizzes on the band.
Dude, I know, sorry.
Are you even a fan?
I will be soon. No, I am. They're great. They're great. Yeah.
Do you guys have any merch that people can get at your show?
Great question. We do actually. Yeah, we actually just got some t-shirts made. So we've got shirts. Yeah. We've got these koozies and lighters that have actually been really popular.
Yes.
That we just restocked those. That's exactly. Yep. When we were first starting thinking about merch, I was like, we need practical items, things that people want to be like, oh yeah, I can actually see myself using that.
Yes.
Like not just another shirt or poster or whatever. Like
yes.
And yeah, they're cool. So yeah, we've got koozies, lighters. We're hoping to get some CDs made. Whether or not they'll be done in time, we don't know.
Yeah,
but like
the tour trope of making
something it's just like
physical copy.
Well, because yeah, you're in that like zone. It's like I don't know anybody who actually listens to CDs, but like we don't necessarily. Hopefully down the road we'll put an album out that we'll want to release on vinyl and like do the whole thing. But that wasn't this record. This is our first real record, and so we really wanted to just get it out there as soon as we could.
Yeah.
Now there's like you want something physical sitting on the merch table, right? But and the cheap way is cassettes. But Nico is our front man is pretty anti-cassette. So.
Oh yeah. Oh no.
Well, he's just basically like, it sounds terrible. Why would we do that?
I was gonna say, it's got to be an audiophile.
It is. It's like it's a sound quality thing. Which, like, I mean, whatever. Like, I understand the charm of like a cassette, but it's hard to argue with the fact that they sound terrible.
Yeah,
so.
And it's a very niche audience. That's
it is, right? The people who are like, yeah. I mean, I know some tape collectors and like. More power to you. That's great. But I mean, if you drive a car that's more than 10 years old, I guess you still have a tape deck, but it is. What we actually did, we compromised with, like, I printed out these like postcards that have Bandcamp download codes on them.
Honestly,
so.
I think that's the best way to go about it nowadays. Mm-hmm. Cause like people who want physical media are very like niche person probably.
Totally. Yeah.
And most people are listening to things digitally these days, but having something physical is nice. So,
but it's also something like when I go to a show, I want to be able to support a band outside of like the streaming services. Cause most of them are terrible.
Yeah, totally.
Like most of the money does not go to the bands, and like we all use them cause that's like the easiest way to listen to music.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But like, it's like, people are starting to move away from it though, like places like Bandcamp where it's like still streaming, but like it more directly supports the artists, like using things like that. Well, because actually since the last time we were on, I know Brett and I talked a lot about King Gizzard and how they're huge influences.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And we played a couple of their tracks, I think. And they actually just a couple of weeks ago pulled all of their stuff from Spotify.
Oh yeah.
Which a lot of bands have been doing.
Oh
like,
yeah, and Deerhoof too.
Yeah, like luckily Giz is one of those bands that like they control everything. Like they are their own label.
Yep.
And so they had the power to do that.
Yep.
But I mean now I'm like moving away from Spotify because I can no longer listen to like my favorite band there. So but anyway, like the download code gives you a way to like steer someone away from Spotify, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, go to here and like listen to us like on a different site that actually directly supports us. So.
Yeah, and you actually get that like still downloaded and that kind of still physical media. Like,
yeah, well, you can get it in a high quality, like lossless format if you are like do want that audio file version or of it or whatever that you'd get from a vinyl or a CD. Then totally.
You know, a band that I had on the show like years ago, they would always do fun releases, Rilla, and they they released one of their tracks one time on like disc drives.
Oh, like little thumb drives? Like thumb drives. Yeah, I remember like 2010s and bands doing that.
Yeah, like, and they had like, it was like a tooth shape. And I'm like,
oh, that's cool.
I'm like, I don't know the cost of that, but I feel like that is a very cool way of distributing something physical.
Totally. Yeah, no, that is a cool idea. Like, I mean, one of the things though that you want with something physical is you want to be able to show the art, right?
Yes.
Like, at least for me, that's like one of the main things. And you can't necessarily, I mean, you can get a fun, like, or cute shaped thumb drive, but you can't have album art. I mean, again, I think that's one of the reasons why vinyl has had such a resurgence as opposed to CDs is that like they're cool things to just like display in your house. So I think like most of my friends have like a wall in their house that's like their vinyls hung up and like you can see all of it. And so yeah, there's definitely that aspect to it, which is for me like one of the cooler things about it and why I think people want to buy them still, even if like, I mean, you'll buy a record to support the band and like you'll throw it on a couple of times, but then it might just sit on your shelf, but it still looks cool sitting on your shelf. I don't know.
Well,
it still serves
a purpose.
I feel
like we're going to see this continued trend as there is this further push away, like, you know, this sort of subscription life that we live in, that there's going to be this push towards people wanting just that, just to own things.
Just to, well, and just to like kind of focus yourself, right? Because like, I mean, the idea that we all listen to like hundreds of thousands of bands like just because it's so accessible is like a fairly new thing. Like no one, like, unless you were like an insane like collector freak who bought every album that they listened to like pre-2010, like most people had a niche few bands that they liked. They owned those records, and like, I don't know, mentally that sounds like healthier than like having playlists with like thousands of bands that you're like, at least for me, like sometimes I'd get overwhelmed honestly by like amount of like music and bands, and I don't know, maybe that's just me, but having like the physical selection, like it is like, if say like someone that you're at, like I'm hosting people at my house, I pull out my phone to like throw on music, like sometimes I just like stare at Spotify or whatever, like I've never like heard of music before.
No,
I'm like, what do I put on? What is it? But if I like go like and look at my record shelf, I'm like, okay, this is a much easier decision. I'm like limited in some way. There are like some guardrails. So
no, I know exactly what you're saying. I think especially with where Spotify has gone with pushing like algorithmed playlists and stuff, it's taking away that thinking option that you have, right?
Yes, exactly. And, yeah, 100%.
And so we're skill regressing, right? I do the same thing. I open my phone and I'm like, I've never heard of a band
what
in
is
my
that?
Life.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Or the only bands that I can conjure are the bands that I've listened to in the past like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
anything before that's like, oh, what was I listening to in 2008? Like, good luck recalling that information, you know? Like,
and that's kind of on purpose. So it is kind of nice, like, finding alternative ways to reach people.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, because again, like, I can go to the shelf and look at like CDs or records or whatever and be like, oh, I bought this record in 2008, I totally forgot about it, I loved it at the time, like let's throw it on, which like you can't do that digitally, you're just getting whatever it's feeding you. So you're totally right that like skill set of being able to like catalog and remember and like have emotional connections to records is not there as much. I mean, it definitely still happens,
but it's definitely like you forget about things, and then because you don't own them in your person, like if they get taken off of that, they're gone. You just forget about it.
Totally.
There's so many people that I have just forgotten about that.
Yeah, 100%.
If I had the physical beauty, you would come upon
it
again.
You would at least see it there at some point. Yeah, exactly. Like I might listen to a band that I, or a record that I absolutely love on Spotify and then forget to save it or like forget to put it into a playlist
forever.
And it's literally gone forever. Like I will never remember to listen to that band again unless like a friend reminds me or whatever. But yeah, like that's crazy.
Yeah. So in kind of thinking around that, look, so you guys do all of your recording like DIY and releasing sort of DIY. Are you guys like thinking more about that? Like you kind of touched on that earlier, like now releasing, you know, you're not beholden to that same, you know, record release schedule. Are you guys still thinking and like planning sort of things out, or is it just kind of like coming when things come, and then you release when what
I think
done.
It's definitely more the latter. Like, it's just when things come. Like, we know, I guess we do know that we would like to put something else out either late this year or early next year. Mm-hmm. Like, just because, but if we didn't have the songs, or like, say, the last, like, because like I said, we have like 7 or 8 new ones right now. I think we want a couple more that we're stoked on, and like if those songs like never came, or like if we never found studio time, then like fine, like we'll push it a little bit. But it really is just like when it happens to work out, when we feel like the songs are ready, like that's definitely dictates it more than like we have to put out a record by this date or whatever. Like that's not we definitely don't think about it that way.
Are there any songs that, I mean, you kind of mentioned this a little bit with your last song that you really enjoy playing it, but are there any songs in particular that you like really enjoy playing?
They're definitely, I mean, I like playing all of them. I think at least at this point, especially with the Primo songs, we like, we've played them enough, and we've figured them out enough live to know like what we need to do to like have a good time with them, if that makes sense. Cause a lot of, I mean, a song, like when you write a song, like every time you play it is just the way that it exists in that moment of time. Like a song is never set, like, or at least the way that we think about it, especially even like on a record, like we recorded those songs, but by no means is that like the end all be all version of that song. Mm-hmm. Like we will continue to adapt and change it in like different ways. And like all three of us in Kilmer definitely think about the music that way. So like to kind of get back to your point, I think that we've gotten them all at this point. Like the songs that we do play live, which is pretty much all of them at some point, we've figured out ways to like make them fun for ourselves live have hopefully in ways that like connect with an audience. Because there will be songs that you record that you're like, especially for us as a trio, right? Like one of the things that we always go back and forth with when we're recording something is like, all right, we're a trio, like we're bass, guitar, drums. Like we've started to incorporate some like synth and Moog and stuff into it a little bit, but if the core of the band is bass, guitar, drums, and when we record, like that's how we write it. And then when we go into the studio, are we like, man, there's like a million other little toys and things and sounds that we can add on top. Like Nico's always wants to add like 3 other guitar parts, but like it's always like boiling it down to be like, okay, well, what can we will this completely change the vibe of the song where we can't recreate it live?
Right.
Or will we have to adapt and arrange an even different version to do live that's different than the original one we wrote, different than like the studio version that has a bunch of layers? How can we then recreate that feeling live with only the three of us?
Yeah.
Because we like the idea of keeping it the three of us. Like we've toyed around with bringing, like we have friends in town that like play guitar, keys or whatever, that we've toyed around with, like seeing if they'd want to jump on for a couple of shows or even expand the band. But we always come back to like keeping it a trio. Like we love that it's a trio. Like we love a lot of bands that are trios. And so like, and it's also like, it's a cool challenge. One, it's fun on stage, like only 3 people on stage, and just like when that vibe clicks, like it's just, it's really intimate, it's cool. And I think we all really appreciate that. Also, it just makes scheduling way easier only have 3 people to deal with versus 4 or 5. Like I was in a band with 6 people once, and that was like a nightmare. Like we want to keep it to the trio sound, but it is always a challenge to, cool, we know how to arrange this to make it like cool and full and fun on the record, but we usually try to keep it as scaled back as we can because we want to try to recreate it live, like as much as we can with just the 3 of us.
Which is, I mean, an awesome challenge to fill that wall of sound with 3 people. And
totally.
To make that,
well, that's just why it's always so fun when I see bands do it. When it's like, oh, speaking of the Corey Hansen at Pickathon, his band that he was playing with was only 3 people. It was guitar, bass, and drums. And like, whenever I see a band that pulls that off, I'm like, yes, this is awesome. Like, love it. The Max are another local band that I've like been paying attention to a lot recently. Yeah. Like, they have 4 people, but their frontman just sings. And so it's just 3 instruments doing everything. And so it's, again, it's like, what are these bands doing that can have that huge sound live? And like, what can we kind of pull from? I mean, and even going back to like, I don't know, like Zeppelin, they were 4, but Robert Plant only sang. They sounded huge always. The Jimi Hendrix Experience, they're a trio. Like they're all these amazing, like, especially kind of in like the early psych rock genre, that were power trios, that, and that I feel like is what we pull from a lot.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good segue to listen to some more of the music that you put on your playlist.
Yeah, for sure.
Hear more of your influences.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see what we got. Here's one that this is kind of out of left field and has nothing to do with anything we were just talking about.
But I
kind of want to play it because it's this is one that Brett, our bass player, wanted me to play, and like we listen to a lot. I honestly don't know much about the band except they're like a Norwegian metal band.
Cool.
I don't even know what kind of metal I would call it, like death or black or metalcore or whatever. I know that metal fans get really
I apologize. Niche genres, yeah.
But they but this music's really cool. Brett and I have been listening to a lot, especially Brett. Like, he's been pulling a lot of influences from this.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is that it is like there is so much going on when you hear this track. Like, it is wall of sound, so many layers, like, but it's still like grooves. You can still like bob your head to it. Like, anyway, love this track. And this is Hunningvarna is the name of the band. And what's the track is that one right there.
Awesome. Amor Fati.
Yeah.
A lover of fate. There we go.
Jag har kastat mig runt honom.
Was so funky fresh.
Yeah, so that was Wengo Zop by an Australian band called Mild Life that I had. We're coming to the end here, and I had to get that band on the air.
I'm glad that you did.
They're one of my all-time favorites. Yeah. Didn't necessarily, the flow out of Huntingvarna wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. but yeah, they're I have a reputation for, if you give me the controls at a party, I will put on Mild Life. Then it's just, every time.
You know what?
Much.
That's a crowd pleaser, though. If somebody's, upset listening to that, they need to...
My thoughts exactly.
Put something in their bowl and smoke it. That was really fun and funky. Well, Austin, thank you so much again.
Of course. I had a great time. Yeah. I'm glad that I was able to fill enough air just by myself. So. I was legitimately worried that I wasn't going to be able to. So
no,
thank you.
No, thanks for bringing on some great tunes. And one last time, tell listeners, because you guys are about to head off to a big tour. Where can they see you?
Yeah, so we're starting a tour on the 28th. We're starting it here at the Alberta Street Pub. It's going to be a great show. Please come check us out there. And then the next date is in Bend. So if you live in the Bend area, you can definitely come check us out, which is the 29th. Here, I'm trying to pull up the name of the venue here.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's quite a drive. You guys are just doing boom, boom, boom.
So on the 29th in Bend, we're playing Silver Moon Brewing, cool. Which will be a great show. I'm excited about that one. And then to California from there. But come check us out. It's going to be good.
Yeah, come this Thursday. Wish them luck. Wish them luck on the road. And I guess we'll hear one last song from you guys.
Let's go out on Rivers Silent. I think that's one we didn't get to play last time. It's a fun one.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again.
Awesome. Thank you.
Here we go. ¶¶